97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the ruling earlier this week by the National Labor Relations Board that football players at Northwestern University cannot unionize. Our guests are Joel Maxey, associate professor in the Center for Hospitality and Sport Management at Drexel University, and Rick Karcher, professor of sport management at Eastern Michigan University. Joel, let's start with you, and I'm referring to an article here in Bloomberg News, which starts by saying the bid for college sports' first ever labor union is dead, but the question at the heart of the debate remains unanswered, and that question is, are college athletes employees? So where do we stand on being able to answer that question after this ruling?
I think the ruling is important because the NLRB, although they declined to rule on this specific case, didn't rule out that in future that college sport athletes and even team-specific athletes could be employees. So they didn't. The word that's been passed around a lot through the media is that they punted. So they chose not to rule for now, and I think that's partly the hesitation that judicial boards have had, courts, other judicial boards, in ruling on college sports. And their reason was not that they really didn't find or agree with the regional board that it was that they weren't employees, they'd been deemed employees by the regional board, but more that if they were employees and allowed to unionize, that there'd be a stability problem in labor relations to college sports. So they kind of turned it away and at least said, not for now.
Rick, let's look at it from two different perspectives. Some have said what takes 17 months to decide to punt the ball, or the opposite is they very wisely ruled on a very narrow grounds and leaves almost everything open as a result. So which end of that spectrum do you fall on?
Maybe somewhere in between. We can speculate as to why it took the board 17 months to come to the conclusion. In this short period of time, I don't think it would make sense for me to do that. I do believe that it's a narrow ruling. I think it's a ruling that, while ruled against the players, I think it's one that's a respectful opinion, and the reason I say that is because, the rationale, the board's rationale, the crux of the opinion, there's common sense and logic there. I mean, here you have a very unique situation. You have players of one team within one conference seeking to, become a union, which we have never seen. We haven't even seen that in professional sports. In professional sports, all of the players of all the teams within one league are seeking to be represented as a union and have the benefits of labor law. And I think the board was sort of caught, between a rock and a hard place here. And maybe one speculation, I said I wouldn't speculate, would be that they were waiting 17 months to see if any other players from other teams might be interested in being part of a union. And the second issue from a practical standpoint that the board was grappling with in this case, it's unique from the professional leagues, is that you have a university here that's a private university, Northwestern. There are only 17 private universities out of the 125 FBS football universities that are, in fact, private. And the NLRB only has jurisdiction over private universities. Public universities fall under the jurisdiction of the labor laws of each individual state. So if the NLRB were to get involved in this case on behalf of a private university, it opens up the question, well, how do we regulate this, even if we wanted to? So from that standpoint, I think you get your punt. You get your punt from the standpoint that there's no way they were going to come to the conclusion that they are not statutory employees by definition. And it is abundantly clear in that ruling, in numerous places, that they have not taken a position on that. I would even argue that there are portions of that ruling which implicitly suggest that the board believes that they are in fact employees.
Joel, let's take a look at, you know, Northwestern is Rick said, is a private school, and one attorney in Chicago, where Northwestern is located, stated the opinion that in this ruling, the NLRB is essentially saying to college athletes, aim higher. You don't need to just, you know, limit it to one private school. This is your chance to aim higher. Do you see it that way?
Well, that makes some sense. And I think this echoes what Rick said as well, is that they may have been waiting to see if others would join. So you certainly have a majority in FBS football state universities, but there's a significant number of private universities as well. So you also have big players in the big conferences like Stanford and Vanderbilt and Duke and so forth. So there are several other universities whose football and basketball teams would be or would fall under the NLRB's jurisdiction. So that could be part of it, is that Kappa needs to organize beyond just Northwestern. And that's a struggle. So they faced a, I think, unique opportunity because Kane Coulter, the quarterback of Northwestern, I think the issue for Kappa and trying to organize, and by Kappa I mean the group who's trying to organize college football players as a union, need to have an active player step forward, and that's an awkward situation in a lot of situations, and they haven't had success in doing that except for Mr. Coulter. So I think that yes, yeah, sure, that is part of it, that definitely if they want to be effective next time around, they probably need to have more teams involved, more teams from other schools involved.
Sports Focus will be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Joel Maxey and Rick Carter. We're talking about the ruling earlier this week by the National Labor Relations Board involving unionization by Northwestern football. Rick, let me ask you, the ruling basically, the board opted not to assert jurisdiction. In layman's terms, what does that mean?
Well, in layman's terms, it just means that at this point in time, I think as the media is sort of portraying this, athletes do not, in college sports, that is, I'm sorry, at football players at Northwestern University, let's get it, be clear here, it is that the board is not allowing them to join, formally organize as a union under the National Labor Relations Act.
So it won't affect future claims. Joel, the board basically says those scenarios, meaning possible future claims, we need not and do not address at this time. How important is that caveat?
I think it's important because it leaves the door open. It doesn't leave them with a decision or an opinion that says college athletes are not employees. It says that at the present time, we're not going to recognize Northwestern's football team as employees, but we leave that open. We leave that possibility open in the future. So I think it's if there's a silver lining or an optimistic outlook for the possibility of unionizing, that's it. They've left that open, that if you reorganize and try another team or teams, maybe is the right way to think of that, then we may look at this again. The other thing, if I could throw in too, is I think the other thing that's lingering here too is that we've got unresolved antitrust lawsuits on similar issues, and those may change the bargaining or the opinion toward unions for both sides. So we'll see, have to see how those play out as well.
You're talking about the O'Bannon and the Kessler cases, and we'll get to those here in just a little bit. Rick, do you feel, as at least some people who are quoted in this article feel, that there was congressional pressure on the NLRB, and why would that be the case?
Do I feel there was congressional pressure on the NLRB?
Apparently, some people believe that.
I don't believe that. I don't have any knowledge that Congress got involved in this at all. I mean, you're talking about influencing the ruling in some way. I don't have any information on that. I would say that there's the one portion of the ruling which talks about congressional action is just that the board simply said that Congress has not ruled in this arena, so to speak, with college athletes. And so because Congress has provided no direction in that way, we're not going to do that right now as a board. So, you know, I guess the short answer to your question is no, I don't see that pressure.
Right. And Rick, throughout this long process, you know, for some people, the word or the concept union is off-putting. I've heard plenty of people express the opinion that, yeah, we think college athletes should have a voice, should be compensated in some way, but don't form a union. What are the alternatives?
Well, everybody has an opinion on this. The answer to your question, what are the alternatives, is quite simple, and that's lawsuits as well as possibly state trying to pursue state legislative action or federal legislative action. Lawsuits are probably the easier route than to get any legislatures to make change. And so, in other words, you know, you mentioned the O'Bannon case. Well, there are other cases as well, and there will be future cases that will be brought. And, you know, to the extent that they are not a union, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have lawsuits challenging the NCAA regulations in all sorts of ways. Antitrust, right of publicity, unjust enrichment, possibly. It's any number of claims that could be brought, which is interesting because if they were a union, okay, many people believe that that would actually benefit the NCAA and the universities in many respects because it would preclude all of these lawsuits. In other words, if they were a formal union under the National Labor Relations Act, there's no way that members of a union can challenge these rules. And the reason is because when they're a union, the members agree to those rules. So the courts say that you can't challenge those rules in court, and that makes a lot of sense.
Sports Focus will return right after this. Welcome back to Sports Focus, and we're talking about the National Labor Relations Board ruling that football players at Northwestern University cannot unionize and the effect that's going to have on college sports. We're talking with Rick Karcher and Joel Maxey. Joel, let me read a quote from this article and have you react to it. We brought up the O'Bannon and the Kessler cases. And as Rick said, if it's not a union fighting for the players, the fight will be through lawsuits. And we have two pretty big ones here. And here's the quote. If the O'Bannon lawsuit opens the door for players to be paid, the lawsuit brought by Kessler, who helped bring free agency to the NFL, threatens to blow the door off its hinges. Is that particular case, the Kessler case, that important?
I think so, and this is why the O'Bannon case is really about the fact that the NCAA has been able to limit outside income. So it's not only saying we're not going to pay you, or you're not going to be allowed to be paid above and beyond the set limit of a scholarship and so forth, but not only that, you can't earn outside income from licensing, and in particular, that's the focus of the O'Bannon case. So that would That case in the decision at the trial court level was favorable for the players, but that doesn't break the NCAA's right to limit their compensation to a scholarship, whereas the Kessler case takes that on directly. And so it says basically the NCAA or the member colleges of the NCAA are conspiring to limit pay as a group boycott. So that's a direct challenge to their monopoly, where the O'Bannon case is somewhat indirect, although you could think of them as dominoes. I think if O'Bannon holds through appeal and Kessler, that might stand well for Kessler's case as helping the judges decide that.
Rick, how important is it that it is Jeffrey Kessler, that he is known for being, you know, helping bring free agency to the NFL, for having taken on the NCAA and won in past circumstances? How important is it that it's him?
The first thing that comes to mind would be his experience. He's very knowledgeable. He's been involved in it for years. So that's obviously helpful. If you want to call it star power, I'm not sure that is all that significant. The fact that he's a recognized name, I would put more emphasis on his experience and having him involved in these types of cases on behalf of athletes.
So Joel, the same attorney we mentioned based in Chicago is quoted later in this article as saying that despite the ruling by the NLRB, that because of these cases, O'Bannon, Kessler, and others, that in as short as 12 to 24 months, the way the NCAA does its business could be dramatically changed. Are we going to see major change in that short a period of time?
I think if these cases do flip the power back towards the athletes. So right now we have a situation where the NCAA is totally, or at least almost totally, in control. They made some concessions some considerable ones based on the trial court result in O'Bannon. But I think if you take their monopoly away from them legally, if Kessler's successful and if these other ones are successful, that they will have to scramble to make significant changes and will likely do that. I don't think it's a lot different than how quickly Title IX changed things in 1971 or 72. There were very limited opportunities for women in sports, and very quickly things changed in those opportunities. So if the law changes, I think it'll be very quick reaction to that.
Rick, do you think this could have the similar effect that Title IX had, as Joel said?
Sure. I mean, I just see this taking time, and that's natural. I mean, I think another analogy that I constantly refer back to is Kurt Flood and players who were in a very similar situation. You know, he had the team saying, "This is all you get. These are the only rights you have, and take it or leave it." And they kept fighting and kept fighting, and Kurt Flood actually lost in court. The Supreme Court said, "No, you lose on antitrust." And with college players, the O'Bannon case, a court might say the same thing. No, you lose on your antitrust claim, but that doesn't mean that they're going to ultimately, lose the war at some point. I'm a believer that people ultimately in this country get paid what they're worth. And college football players and FBS and men's basketball players in Division I are not getting paid what they're worth. So until they're paid what they're worth, as determined by either a labor union or a successful lawsuit, or just the players saying, we're not going to play unless you give us this, we're going to continue to have these struggles.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Joel Maxey and Rick Karcher. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.